Hi. You look so, like you're somewhere wonderful, Carlita. Hi, everybody. So, it's good to see all of you. We're in our last week, our last two sessions. We made it. We made it. So, we have a regular 90-minute session today. And then tomorrow, we are gonna close things out with a special 3-hour session that I know you will all love very, very much. Before we jump in, a couple of housekeeping pieces. So, Linda, you asked last week to go over the certification requirements again, and I think that was, I'm so glad that you asked. I think that was a really good idea. Let me go over them again. And as I share what the requirements are to officially become certified, let me say this. It's work and it's also not a lot of work. So, I say that for those of you that are like, I really want to get the certification, but it feels overwhelming. If you've already probably completed most of the requirements simply by being here, we'll go through them step by step. And then the ones that you still have left, just piece by piece by piece. I should have come to this call in my head, knowing the official date for you to submit all of your stuff. If anybody has that on hand, if you could pop it in the chat. If not, it's in your member center. Yeah, Ray is saying July 1st or June 30th. Yeah, Shauna, thank you. I believe it is July 1st. That's what I was going to say. Thank you. So you've got until July 1st, which is 2.5 months from now. And as you've heard me say before, if you need an extension, we are more than happy to do that. You just need to let us know, just so that the team can kind of plan, because it does take time for us to go through the materials, just so we can plan on the workload. I always hesitantly say you can have extra time, because if you know you can finish it by July 1st, do it so that it's done, you don't have it hanging over you. But if you want to be certified, I want you to be certified, and we'll make it happen. All right, all that being said, here are the requirements. First of all, that you have either come to the call, all of the calls live, or listened to the recording, and you've got a sheet in your member center under certification. It's the honor system. You just mark off, right? After you're done. Same with all of the homework and the resource sheets. You don't have to submit any of the homework, questions, any of it. It's honor system. I trust you. Check off. And if you're going for certification, I know you want mastery, so you're gonna do them anyway. Most of that you've probably done already. If you haven't listened to all the calls or haven't done any of the resource, or you haven't done some of the homework sheets, use the blueprinting process. Write out each of the pieces and what dates you're gonna listen to this recording and do that sheet, etc. Get organized for yourself if that's helpful. Next requirement is 18 sessions with your coaching partner. My hope is that now that we're in the last week of the program, that most of you have completed 18 sessions with your coaching partner. If you haven't, and you still have some sessions to get to 18, if you're on Facebook, post on Facebook, in our group on Facebook, see what other takers there are. If you're not on Facebook and you need some more sessions, let me know and I'll kind of be the bridge between what's going on in Facebook for you. And if I see that someone has posted there and they're not, and you're not getting responses, I'll do my best to try to find opportunities for you as well. In addition to the 18 sessions with your partner in this program, the next requirement is another 18 client sessions. These can be paid client sessions or volunteer client sessions. If you've done more than 18 sessions with your coaching partner, the extra ones can go towards the 18. Because I know if you're going for certification, you're going for it because you want mastery. My suggestion is don't do all 36, 18, and 18 with your one coaching partner. Get at least some other sessions in there with other folks. We added something new for your cycle, which is still an experimentation phase, which is the quizzes. So hopefully you've noticed them. But we've created a quiz for each module, which is not comprehensive in any way whatsoever. It's kind of just a little bit of a review of some of the pieces in each module. That's also honor system. Go through them. I think it'll be a nice review for you to go through and do those quizzes. If you have any suggestions on the quizzes, also, I'm like all ears. Shoot me an email, let me know. I'm always looking to improve and to just like create a better and better experience. And experience for mastering the material and integrating the material as much as possible. So if they're like, oh, you know what would be really cool for the quizzes, please let me know. And Simona, thanks for sharing that in the chat. That's actually really good to know, since this is the first time we're doing that. The last requirement for certification is to submit a recording of you coaching. The type of technology to use, etc., is all in your member center under certification. I forget the exact format. There are a couple different formats you can use. I am not the one, as you know, I've shared before, I am not going to be listening to your recording. Inbal is going to be listening to your recording. And she's going to be, thanks, Simona, 30 to 35 minutes. So Inbal is going to be looking for very specific things in the recording. She's going to be looking for your energetics. How are you setting the container? Are you asking about intentions? How are you holding the container and your energetics throughout? And how are you closing the container? Are you asking for takeaways? She's looking for your listening skills. Are you checking your filters? Are you asking questions and creating awarenesses and reflecting that are based on things that you have heard from the client? Are you approaching with curiosity, etc.? She's looking for how you're using your creating awareness skills. How are you reflecting? How are you celebrating? How are you acknowledging? How are you honoring what is? How are you mirroring? Are you using, I don't want to say the right balance, I don't want to say this. Are you relying too much on consulting versus other ways of creating awareness? She's looking for your breakthrough questioning skills. How are you using questions? She's looking to see, she's looking at visioning and strategizing. So, in almost any coaching session, even if you're not visioning us a big project, you might be visioning a conversation that you want to have with a colleague or a tweak on a project, or maybe you're visioning something that you want in your home. So she's just looking to see if visioning is coming up, how are you using it, and then strategizing. Remember, you always want to spend a little bit of time at least strategizing on next steps. And then that's it. And that's because, for as much as we'd love to also look for befriend your fear or myth of perfection or navigating resistance, that may not necessarily come up in a session. So she's going to look, it may, and if it does, definitely go there. She's going to look for those foundational skills within those more other skills that we've learned. For each of the skills that I mentioned, there's a range of points that she will give you. So it's not like you need perfection, right? There is no perfection, right? It's like it's, and then we add it up in the end. As I've shared before, and I'll share again, I and the entire team, what we want most for you is for you to have incredible skills and for you to feel incredible about those skills. In order to do that, every now and again, it does happen that on the first submission, it doesn't, not all of the numbers add up. If that is the case, first of all, so normal, and you know that I'm a Virgo and nitpicky because I want the best and the highest for you. If it happens, it doesn't mean anything about who you are as a practitioner. It doesn't mean anything about how brilliant you are. It doesn't mean anything about how amazing your skills are. Just that particular recording. Inbal, in that case, will share with you which of the skills to work on, and then you can go back and resubmit. You'll pass the second time. I feel like so confident in saying that. Mindy's asking in the chat, will Inbal give feedback? So she'll give feedback if she sees something. If you pass, you won't get feedback. If you don't, like I just said, she'll share with you where the place is to tweak or tighten up. And then that's it. And then after that, you get a really cool badge that you can use whenever you want, and you get put on our website, and I can't promise a date because we are in process with things, but my ultimate intention is to feature certified coaches regularly through all my different platforms, my newsletter, social media, etc. So you'll get featured by going on the website, you get your picture and your website and a description of your work and contact information, but ultimately I want to be doing like posts about you and newsletter articles about you. Can't promise when. One day. Simona's asking, is there a fine? Yes, thanks for sharing, for asking that. I forgot to mention that there is also a final exam. It's all open book, though, just FYI, and honor, right? Like for me, that you doing the final exam is just, like you said earlier in the chat, Simona, to reinforce, like to go through it, to go through your notes again, and to get that extra practice in of the different pieces. What other questions can I answer? Linda.
Yeah, I think all of that was pretty clear. What I was curious about was more the timing, like if we get done with all that anytime during up to July, we just send it to you
Submit it.
guys. Is that?
Yep. Whenever you are ready, submit it, and we will take a, you know, I think it, you know, give us 2 weeks is what we say. It just needs to get on Inval's, you know, schedule. But submit it whenever you've got your stuff ready.
Okay.
Ray is asking, when will you get the exam? That is a really good question, Ray. We have to create it because it's new, and I know Makita is on it, but it is helpful for me to make a note and ask her, and I'll get back to you. Mindy.
Does everything have to be submitted in one shot, or can you take, you finish the tracking sheets and you send those in, and you send whatever it is. Do you want everything all at once,
It's
or?
helpful if you do it all at once because then we can kind of Talia can get it as a package and it's there, and then hand off to whoever needs to look at, whoever is going to look at the pieces.
Okay.
Kim is asking, how long will we have access to the portal? Kim, for as long as I am in business, you will have access to the portal. So I am not, not that there's anything wrong when information gets cut off, but that's just not my thing. I want you to have access to all of this material to go back to as much as possible. Like, this is my heart, like, gift to you forever. Or, like I said, for as long as I have a website and it's up there. So it's not going down anytime soon. You don't need to download it before July, not at all. Rebecca.
Hi. I was curious what documents we actually need to submit. So there are like what looks to me like worksheets that we can kind of list the days and times that we did these practice sessions. If I just put that in an Excel spreadsheet, is that fine and send it to you that way? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other cues on certification? Okay. If anything comes up, just ask. Facebook group. So let me look at the calendar. I want to keep the Facebook group open. Just a little, like I mentioned, whenever we spoke about this last, I'm gonna keep it. We're not gonna just end it tomorrow. Want you to have time to ask any last questions, you know, connect with each other in that container, et cetera, et cetera. So we're gonna keep it open until April 22nd, which is a week from this Friday. So not this Friday, a week from this Friday. Just know I am away from Thursday through Monday. So if you have a question in there and you post it and I don't get back to you right away, it will get answered before we close the group, I promise, but just probably not between Thursday and Monday. Any questions on the Facebook group?
Joanna, did you say that we would still be able to read the posts and the answers indefinitely?
Yeah, it's going to be
Awesome.
archived, so you can go and read. You just can't like com add comments. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So as we're coming to a close, you will get probably this week, over the next couple of days, an email from me asking if you would be willing to write a testimonial. You are not obligated in any way. Only if you feel moved to share about your experience. If you do feel moved and it does feel right and aligned for you, I just thank you, thank you, thank you in advance. It is so helpful, in two ways. One, kind of the more obvious, your words really make a difference for those people that are considering stepping in, really hearing about your experience and what you received, and what it was like for you. And I have some, in the email, some questions, if they're helpful, to answer. So I just so grateful and appreciative on that level. And then the other level is, even though it's always hard for me to read testimonials on one hand, because I'm like, oh no, like I kind of like want to push it away. On the other hand, I force myself to stay present and really take it in, and it really does fill me. So it really serves two purposes. So if you are willing and it feels right, you will get that email request from me. Last piece, the early bird for advanced or integration ended last night. I'm so excited about those of you that have stepped in. A couple of you have asked if you can have a few more days to just sort things out. I know that it's a busy time and it's just been, a lot going on in general. And I know that some of you have had some personal things going on. I want to be in integrity to those of you that made a decision and did step in already. So I think a good kind of middle ground is take the next day or two. I'm leaving town, like I said, Thursday afternoon. But if you need just that extra day or two, please just let me know by Thursday morning. Okay. So with all of that, let's dive in to today's content, which is journaling as a coaching tool. So, journaling is, I think, a highly, it can be a tool that can just be highly effective when used in coaching. I save journaling for the end of the program because crafting journaling exercises and questions really brings together like everything that we've looked at over the last months. I love to, I'll just say this. Journaling has played a really huge role in my life personally. You probably have guessed it by now because we do so much journaling in the program. It's not for everybody, but it's a tool that just, I see it as a tool for not just getting clarity on things, but for connecting to yourself in a deeper way. And even in some cases, connecting to your soul in a deeper way. I've been keeping a journal since I've been like 7 years old. And it's gotten me through a lot in life. And I notice, well, I'll say just a couple of other personal things just to inspire you. I started my journal right when my mom got diagnosed with MS, and I would not have been able to get through that as a little kid without that space for expression and self-connection, all of that. And then the other piece I just wanted to say is, you know, life goes in cycles, and same with journaling and my journaling. And I notice such a difference in my life, the times when I'm on in my journaling, and then when I take vacations from it, it's like such a difference in my connection to self. But we're not talking about ongoing journaling in today's call. We're talking about specific instances. We'll get there. So what is the purpose of journaling within a coaching context? Well, it's a little bit different than how we use it in classes or facilitation. So we're not going to look at how we use it in classes or facilitation, although there's some dovetail for sure. We're going to look at how to use it in one-on-one work. I use journaling in one-on-one work mainly as homework and follow-up work, almost never during session time itself. So it's an incredible tool for homework, for follow-up, going deeper. Really the only time I use journaling in an actual one-on-one session is for a pattern interrupt, or if a client needs some support to kind of just like clear everything out of their head. So when I say pattern interrupt, what I mean is if there's been like a lot of head, sometimes, and a client is having trouble dropping into their heart or their body, sometimes giving them a journaling question to journal on it for a minute can help move them from heart to head, or sorry, from head to heart. Sometimes a journaling question, again, when we think about it as pattern interrupt, can also help move from heart to head. So if we've been looking at something and it's been highly emotional, and obviously we want to give our clients the time to feel into their emotions and to emote and express and all of that. But if you sense that what they need next is more cognitive or on the intellect, and you've asked a question and the client is, they're still in the emotion, sometimes asking them to make a list and write it out can be just a real quick, easy way, or, you know, to brainstorm a couple of ideas can be a way in the right moment to move from heart to head. When I say journaling, I don't just mean writing words. You know, we'll look more at this. It can mean drawing something, mind mapping, etc. So anyway, that's for in the actual session. But as I said, I mainly like to use it for homework to go deeper on certain topics that came up during a session, for reinforcement and practice of new learnings and new ideas that came up in a session. Sometimes something is meant to stay in the mystery for a session, right? It's not meant to, like, by the time you get to the end of the 45 minutes or whatever, for it to be fully baked. It needs more processing or marinating or being with the ideas. Journaling can be a great tool to use in those moments. You know, sometimes it's like a time release capsule. It gets revealed through that process of coming back to it. And then sometimes I'll also use journaling. If something comes, every now and again, something might come up in a session that is just really, really personal, and private. And if I sense that the client wants to explore it on their own privately first, or just completely, or the client says that, I might give journaling questions for them to do for homework. All of that makes sense so far? Okay. There are very few rules when it comes to journaling. It's a place where you can get really creative. So, like I said, answering questions, dialoguing, drawing, list making, mind mapping, diagram making. So there are only a few rules, and even these are meant to be broken sometimes, as all rules usually are every now and again. But I'll share you some of the kind of, maybe rule isn't the right word, but kind of things that I am thinking about, some guardrails for journaling homework. You don't want it to take up too much time, because if it's too, just same with action steps and strategizing, right? If like a client leaves a session with too much to do, chances are they're not going to do it, and then they're not going to feel great. But also, the journaling shouldn't take up too little time also. Like, it shouldn't just be like a 30 second jot this down. Usually, you know, it's, you want them to kind of be present to it. They're doing work. I usually ask clients to carve out quiet time and space for themselves where they can just turn off email or social media or dinging, just so that they can really be with the work. I usually, if it is writing, and I've done this sometimes here in class, I will ask clients to then read over what they've written, either right afterwards or a day later, and underline or circle or just write out some key pieces and takeaways. I always follow up if I give journaling homework. So I'll either follow up in the next session, if I don't see about it in the pre-call form, you know, how did it go? What did you learn? What came through? Or I might shoot an email before then and just say like, hey, been thinking about that journaling that you were gonna do. Have you done it yet? What's come through? I'd love to hear. Sometimes giving a client space on a next session, even if you're going to look at a completely different topic, to give them 5 minutes in the beginning of the session to share what they wrote and what came through can be really powerful. It can help them continue to process and just be seen and heard in the revelations, and just be witnessed in all of it. If you don't like to journal, chances are your ideal client may not like to journal either. Though I suspect if you're here, you probably like to journal. But anyway, I just put that out there to say it's not for everybody too, right? Know your audience, know who you're talking to. All right, let me pause there. Any thoughts or questions before we move forward? Okay. So I didn't say at the beginning of our call today, most of this call is going to be interactive. I just need to get through these couple pieces, and then it's actually going to be mostly you. This is almost like a little bit of a practicum when we get there, which is really fun. But I just want to share a couple of other pieces first. Y'all know I like to create categories and put things into buckets. And so I've got two categories for the types of journaling homework that you might co-create with clients. So the first category I call like more general journaling practices. So it's not like a spot exercise. This came up in the session, answer these questions or do this thing once. That's category B, specific instances. But category A is more about a practice, a journaling practice, than a specific do this homework once. Now, not every client is going to be up for an ongoing journaling practice. Again, know your audience. This is for the clients that are interested in having a practice, doing the longer term, you know, persistent work on their own in between sessions. Usually I won't, you know, what I'll co-create with a client around this isn't just a general open-ended journal every day, but it'll be around issues that come up that are important for them that they want to build long-term. So for example, a gratitude, a journaling gratitude practice. That's not something you're going to do once, right? But that's ongoing or for a period of time. A celebrations practice, journaling practice. Many people do morning pages from Margaret Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way. If you see a client that just they're really longing to connect more to their soul, or a client who maybe they wake up in the morning and they're dysregulated and they're all over the place and they need something grounded, right? That might be a nice ongoing practice. Dream work is another example of an ongoing journaling practice. We look at that in one of our advanced retreats. I go through phases where sometimes I have just a little practice of starting with I am. Like, where am I today? I am. And then I just write without thinking about it for 3 minutes. I am sad. I am excited, right? Whatever it is. And I just let it come through, and then it is what it is. What else? I want to hear from you. What other kinds of, again, not one-shot deal, but kind of consistent, ongoing journaling practices have you used and liked, or that are coming up for you now as we're talking? Simona.
Hello. So I'm really passionate. I had a little company called Blue Mave Journal Company was one of my first online businesses. So I raise my hand because I have a different I am practice. I believe that anything we write after I am becomes our identity if we write it enough times. So I use that as a tool. And so when I stepped into this, I noticed I was having trouble, as you all knew, because I did it in front of all of you in my creative awareness, being comfortable being a paid healer, because I had a belief system that it should not be for pay. So I've been writing for months and months now, every single morning when I wake up, I am committed to being an expert in my field. I am committed to being wealthy. And at first it was very, very uncomfortable. But now between writing that every day for months and months, plus a ton of coaching traits, like that has helped me step in as a paid healer. So that's a practice that I do, is like put an identity statement if I'm trying to shift myself.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. It's great. Rana.
I'll share that this is a practice that I actually learned from Ruth King's book, Healing Rage. And she offers the practice of actually keeping a rage journal. And this has saved my life more times than I can. And it's a specific practice that she offers, and is kept separately from other journaling practices. But man, a rage journal, oh, that's a game changer.
Yes, I'm so glad you're bringing that in. I wouldn't say I have a specific rage journal, but I definitely have rage journaling sessions. So helpful. possible. What can you put, could you pop in the chat the name of the book and the author?
Absolutely, I'll do it now.
Yeah, thanks so much. Shauna.
I'm a big fan of EFT tapping. I don't know if anybody else in here practices that. I'm definitely not an expert on it, but it has been huge in my own healing journey. And so I have spent a lot of time journaling within my tapping routine, and having, you know, the setup statement of, even though I insert issue, I completely love and completely trust myself. And so I've kind of worked through that with my own EFT tapping practice, and it's been huge. I've also journaled for ever. And so it's so important.
I love that so much. And that's making me wonder, and maybe Shauna, maybe you want to do this and be the guinea pig and let me know, but it's making me wonder what would happen with tapping with the "even though nevertheless" statements, and if that might accelerate.
I think it would totally work. I mean, they're kind of hand in hand.
No.
You know, so similar, even though this, mm-hmm. I still this. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's really uncomfortable when you start it. Like Simona had talked about, when you're saying that and you're not totally believing it, but as your practice goes on, and if anybody EFT taps, it's common to you rate yourself. So I'm starting here. How strongly do I feel this feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? And then you tap your meridians and then you rate yourself again. And it always decreases. It's amazing.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. Stacy.
Hi. I have kept a shadow journal. And as someone who's recovering from people pleasing and codependency and, you know, hiding in the light, pretty much, I have found it transformational to keep a journal about the shadow in myself. And it's a place, for me, it feels like a really safe place to journal about what's not working. Yes. Because I often find it's hidden to me. And so a specific container to explore those ideas of what I may be hiding from myself. Now, if someone were to read that journal, they would have a very skewed vision of me. Yes. So I try to keep that under lock and key.
It's so funny you say that, because I use my journal in that way as well. And I always think, oh my gosh, if my kids were to ever find this, they...
Oh my God, it'd be like psychotic woman over here.
Yes, exactly. Because I will write from my jealous one and my competitive one and my rageful one, you know, just whatever part like needs the expression. Yes. Or some light shed on
permission.
It. Thank you for bringing that into the conversation. I love that you have... that practice. All right, I think there's also some great things happening in the chat here. Let me see if I can find some of them. So Karen is saying, I like to list desires. I love that, I desire. Also, I start with what is here now. Yeah, that's similar to think like the I am in the morning page, I love that. Kim is saying evidence journaling. I have a guess at what that is, but I'd love for you to, Kim, if you don't mind, to just share with us a little bit more what evidence journaling is.
Yeah, early on, when the belief is just, it's really hard for you to step into that this is possible, you can start to build the evidence. And it's kind of similar to what happens with the gratitude stuff, but you're actually building evidence, especially if it's like a self-depreciating belief. Like I did one that was all around my own value and my own worth, to help me see that, because the mind can be so tricky in dismissing what is actually happening.
Yeah.
But I found it really helpful because it started to give me a way to work to counteract what my really, really strong inner critic was telling me all the time. And it felt like a very functional thing when at that point I was struggling with embracing my spirituality and stuff like that. So it was more of like a logic intellect way to deal with stuff.
So, and we need that too. Like sometimes the, right, this is for journaling and just in general, important practitioners know sometimes that that evidence and the logic is so important and can support us to move, you know, usually not the only thing, but it really can support us to move from a certain way of feeling or old patterning. As you were talking, I may have mentioned this in Myth of Perfection, I can't remember, but it, as you were talking, Kim, it reminded me of one of my practices, which isn't an everyday practice. I use it when I need it, which is that when I go into my total and utter catastrophic thinking place of like, everything is going to fall apart and like everything sucks. And, you know, all the things, which by the way, I go there a lot. What I do is I make a list, and the list is if my business were to completely fall apart tomorrow, what are the inner and outer resources that I have that nobody can take from me that I know can help me build back what I want? And then I end up listing out all of the experience that I have and the wisdom and my intuition and my heart and the relationships that I've created and what I understand about marketing, all the things. And then there's this whole, as you're saying, evidence, there's this whole list of evidence of like that can let the catastrophic thinking kind of calm down a little bit. It's okay.
Yeah, everything, whenever I reach those edges where I know I'm going to take something of a stretch or a leap, going and doing the evidence building helps me see, because I can really easily dismiss the positive things that people will say to me. Yeah. And so if I build like an evidence log, it supports me with shaking some of that imposter syndrome or the resistance to, it's like, no, I have a chronic thing of undermining my own readiness for something or not acknowledging that I know more than I think I do. And so it keeps me stuck in those learner's mode and always having to find something. So by far, more so than any of them, the evidence journaling has been helpful in most of the big shifts that I've taken.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing more about that. These are all so great. Jenna's saying journaling about challenging emotions and thoughts first, just to get it all out. Beautiful. Belief transformation. And speaking of which, go back to, you know, the rewire in the rewiring, as well as in Befriend Your Fear. There's exercises for tracking, which are journaling exercises. Just quickly see what else is here, because we've got a lot more to look at today. Brags. Yes. Thank you, Lisa Joy. One page brags, one page fears, one page turnarounds of biggest fears. That's beautiful. Yeah, another riff on that is like at the end of each day, one thing that you want to celebrate, one thing that you've learned, one thing that you want to do differently tomorrow. Holly uses when you have negative feelings, using the NVC format. I've heard great things about that. I don't know that much about it. Simona burns her journals. I could never do that. Okay. All right. There's great stuff in the chat. Please take a look there. I'm going to move on our conversation for now. Grief doodle page. Yeah, that's great, Cindy. And that reminds me again, like, not just writing. So another practice that I've gone in and out of is a drawing a day. And I'm a terrible artist, by the way. That's why I studied art history for so many years. I studied other people's art. So this isn't about, for me, it's not about artistic ability. It's totally abstract. I get a couple of crayons or markers, and it's just about, that's like, let me just see how I'm feeling through just whatever I draw. And then sometimes I might analyze it or journal on what I drew, or other times it's just like a nice exhale afterwards of like, oh, that image is resonant for the day. Move on. Okay, so that's bucket or category A. When you see like a client, there's a muscle for them to build in a way, and some kind of targeted journaling practice you may want to give them. The other category, as I said, is a specific thing came up in a session, and you're just giving like a one-time homework, specific homework on it. Holly's asking in the chat, will we publish the chat in the portal? I don't know that we can go back and do old ones at this point, Holly. Simone is saying I can't. I know
somebody... I just meant this one.
Okay. Simona, I feel like you know how to save the chat. Can you, can't, do you? And if so, can you type instructions in to the chat to let Holly know how to do that? Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. So, any scenario, like I said, that comes up in a session, sometimes there's not enough time in the session to like look at all the pieces. You can use journaling to go deeper with that. Reinforcing pieces from the session, journaling, or the ways that we're talking about journaling today, homework, pieces that weren't fully baked, etc. There are as many journaling assignments or exercises as there are coaching scenarios. And as I said earlier, you kind of get to use all your different skills to co-create that with clients. So what we're going to do for the rest of our time today is I'm going to give a couple of different coaching session scenarios. And the invitation to all of you is to use all of your skills, everything that we've learned over the last 10 months, to think about different types of journaling, you know, expanded art, whatever it is, and the ways we've been talking about, different kinds of journaling exercises you might give that client for homework. So here's the first scenario. So you're in a session with a client, and your client shares that she hasn't done any of the action steps that the two of you strategized out in the session before. She hasn't taken any of the action steps. She's working on her logo design business. So she's got a business, logo design, and the two of you had strategized some steps for her to take in order to bring on clients. This is the second session in a row that this has happened, that she hasn't taken any action steps. And when the two of you look at this more deeply together in the session, a couple of things emerge. So number one, the two of you see together that she didn't quite have the time in her schedule to complete all of the action steps, but she definitely had time to complete some of them. But the schedule thing comes up. Another thing that comes up in the session is that she has some fear and resistance around being so visible in taking those actions. And so you do a befriend your fear process around her fear of visibility, and she connects deeply with a time when her first boyfriend made fun of her for wanting to become a famous artist. Through that befriend your fear process, she was able to see that the perceived rejection from her boyfriend made her feel ashamed of her creativity and nervous to let others know that she wanted to make a business out of her creativity. the higher level message that her fear ultimately gave her in the Befriend Your Fear process was, trust your creatrix. Trust your creatrix, that part of you that's really creative. Let's say that you were already towards the end of the session there, and you wanted to give this client some journaling homework to go deeper and follow through. Take a few moments. What's some journaling homework that could be super helpful for this client? And as an aside, Holly, I'll ask the team if they can get this particular chat into the member center. I'll give you guys another minute, and then I'd love to hear some voice-to-voice shares. And don't be shy. This is just all about brainstorming. What's some journaling that, or other exercises that this client could do on her own time that could help her go deeper, help her reinforce awarenesses that came through, et cetera, et cetera. And Simona, thanks. I think the team can do it even after, you know what, if you can send it to me, that would be great. Thanks. All right, what are y'all coming up with? I want to hear your ideas. What could be some cool, helpful, valuable homework for this client? Mindy.
What came to mind immediately was sort of a hybrid of drawing and writing. And the assignment would be to design a logo about herself and her creativity and desire.
I love it. Using her own medicine, right? And what she's doing for others, it's brilliant, right? So giving the assignment of creating a logo for yourself and even like who you want to be as an artist and entrepreneur, even if she already has her business logo, right? In this kind of expanded way. And then say again, the second part, writing, what would the writing
be? And I guess giving some words to it, maybe there's a slogan or something like that, or just sort of describing what the logo is. So to just bring it to life more.
Yeah, beautiful, I love it, such a great, activity that activates more than one level of learning and processing and supports the client in her creativity and just helps to go even deeper. Nice. Stacy.
I would add to that trust your creatrix. I would give her an assignment to adventure into what that would feel like in her body. So developing the relationship of embodied trust. So I would have her start off with putting her hands on her second chakra and tune into music that brings up a certain emotion. And then I would have her use her intellectual abilities and think about the last time, you know, she had a memory of when she really trusted herself. And then I would have, you know, for the spiritual aspect or the energetic aspect, I would have her ask herself to receive a message about what this trusting her creatrix would look like, and to guide her in a drawing or automatic writing experience. Those are a lot of pieces, but maybe a little bit of each, or, you know, whatever resonated with her.
Yeah. And you can kind of tweak it and brainstorm with the client. I love that. So you're really taking this, the piece that you're pulling forward is this trust piece. And what are the things throughout the week or the next couple of weeks that the client can really do to befriend and embody trust more? And there's lots of different, doesn't have to just be writing, the music, the connecting into the body. Beautiful. And the trust piece would be another great place to go deeper and reinforce from that session for the client in order for her to reach her goals of bringing on more clients.
Right. And it reinforces that she has confidence on all these levels to find that relationship with her creativity.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. These are all great. Let's hear some more, Rana.
Something that immediately came to mind for me was to invite the client to take themselves on like a little kid play date and like get the little kid like art supplies out, like finger paints came to mind immediately for me. Collaging is something else that came to mind. Going out in nature and actually journaling, not only in nature, but actually creating a journaling piece from nature.
Yeah.
Could be really interesting. And then another thing that came to mind is to offer the client an opportunity to write themselves or their smaller self a lullaby.
I love all of those. And the first couple before the lullaby piece, as you were talking, and tell me if this is where you were getting. I mean, I'm sure there are a couple of things that you were trying to get at with the homework. There's so many levels and layers to it. But one that I really saw in there is giving the client opportunities to be with her creative self before the rejection, when it was just this a cleaner relationship with the creativity, and a more open relationship with it. Beautiful. Thank you. Jamie.
I was following pretty much the same thread from a slightly, I had the mischievous, rebellious part of that younger creator to also be invited, right? To actually lean into it before it was changed, right? Because sometimes getting back to that unchanged place is a new place of shame and not being able to do it, right?
Yes.
Instead, it's like, no, go for it. And so rebellion, mischievous, that was really it. And then some of those things, it's like, well, where would you go on this play date?
Yes.
If it was all like, and you were actually pushing against it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, I love that. And the date. Great. These are all so wonderful. Let's see also what's in the chat. Simona's borrowing from Cindy, sketch and then dialogue with the sketch. Yes, and she is an artist. Carlita saying, write a list prioritizing action steps and then choosing just one or two. Yes, because there was the schedule piece as well. And then write a letter of wisdom and advice from future self who's moved past this. Nice. Yes. Or a conversation with her heart about what she needs to make herself feel safe. Yes. These are all awesome. Christina.
Journaling is something that I am personally working on. It is not my forte, but something I would ask her to journal about is what were the outcomes when she didn't follow her gut intuition and allowed, you know, outside input to make that decision. And then when she got that answer, I would also, for a stretch, ask, so who did she hold accountable for this outcome that was out of alignment with what she really wanted?
Yeah, beautiful. I love that kind of taking the time to gather the information from the past situations and then seeing what the impact was. Nice. Those are great. Yeah, and Simone, yes, I agree with what Simone is saying too, Jamie, the embracing the rebellion and the trickster, which she didn't get to have in that boyfriend situation. So true. Any other thoughts? Anyone else want to toss anything? Linda.
In addition, I guess, because all these ideas have been so great, but I like to do parts dialoguing a lot. So, you know, talk to both parts, the one that wants to be the famous artist, and, you know, perhaps give some questions or just let that flow. And maybe the part that's wanting to stay in hiding and you know, do that kind of back and forth thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the back and forth with each other, they can dialogue together. Libby.
I my mind went right to her, the resistance that she must be facing, because she's co-creating strategy steps and then not doing them 2 weeks in a row. So I would have like gone towards that resistance and had her journal there and probably asked her when you're going to take action, like you're planning on doing it and then you're starting to feel the resistance. I would have her get her in touch with how that feels in her body, but then ask her, what is the thought that pops into your head right before the resistance kicks in? Trying to get at the limiting belief that is at the core of the resistance.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's coming from you, Libby, too. You're the neuro person. So like catching the thought process in there. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So these are all incredible. And what I want to point out to all of you is that almost not all of these ideas, but almost all of them could also be used in session as well, if there was time and space. And the only reason I'm pointing it out is to say, look at how much you've all learned. There's so much incredible wisdom and avenues for coaching that are being shared here. It's just incredible. Nihal is saying, if it feels like she's ready to move forward, I'd ask what her creatrix wants her to know about making her time for being visible. Absolutely. And that can also be, as some other suggestions, be turned into like a practice for the week. So instead of asking her creatrix once, what if she had three journaling sessions with her creatrix over the next week to enforce that energy? What if she did three dances from the energy of her creatrix throughout that week to reinforce that energy? What if she took three walks from the point of view and with the energy of the creatrix, right? So we can almost think of like a semi-practice too, if not a forever practice on some of these things. Tarot is being mentioned in the chat. Yep, that's a whole other, for sure. In advanced, we, in the same retreat that we look at dream work, we look at tarot, not from a fortune-telling point of view, from a very different Jungian archetypal point of view. There's so much you can do with tarot and imagery. One other piece I'll throw out there from this scenario that I don't think anyone mentioned, which is an echo of what Rana shared before. She could write a real angry letter that she's never going to send to that boyfriend and stand up for herself and set that boundary and really use the writing to correct isn't the right word, but to like to shift what the reaction was back when she was a teenager to what's so much more helpful for her now. Simona.
I just want to say something really cool that I learned about neuroanatomy, which is the part of our brain, like if this is brain stem and brain, you know, neocortex, the part of our brain that thinks in images does not actually have a sense of timeline. And so when you're talking about that writing that letter, like that part doesn't even know that that's not present time. So to be able to connect with that part and change the story, you actually can, which I think is really cool.
Yes, I'm so glad you're sharing that. It's so, so true. I mean, it's amazing. And there's this technique that I teach, not here in advanced, where we actually go back to memories and shift, not shift the memory, but like shift the energy and the response in the memory. And what you're sharing, Simona, is exactly at play. It's because it's timeless. And then we can like course correct by going back into the memory. It's incredible. Good. All right, should we try a different scenario? Let's do another one. Okay, so in this scenario, you're working with a client on setting boundaries. And in this session, the client realizes, in her words, that she's a doormat in a lot of her relationships. She overgives in a lot of her relationships. She takes over responsibility, and she allows others to be really critical of her and take advantage of her. Through that work that you do together in the session, you also uncover that she has a fear of others being angry at her. And that's related to all of this being a doormat. Through the exploration, what you also discover is that inside of this client, there is a buried energy of the warrior woman, not warrior, warrior, lying dormant. She's got a warrior lying dormant inside of her. As you move towards the end of the session and you look at some strategizing, she wants to take a couple of actions from everything that you've looked at. So one piece is that she wants to set boundaries with one of her close friends, specifically no more lending this friend money because the money never gets paid back. The other action step or boundary that this client wants to take and set is with her parents. She doesn't want to call them every day anymore. She's been calling them every day. And she decides that she wants to set both of these boundaries with the friend and with the parents with confidence and with love. So if you were to give her an additional inner piece of homework, right, like journaling type homework to go deeper and to help her set these boundaries, what's some homework you might give her? I'll give you a minute or two. What do you got? Carlita's saying in the chat, write out an imaginary conversation between herself and each of these people. So with her friend and then with her parents. Perhaps, oh, I just lost it. Perhaps the worst and best case scenarios. I love that. So an opportunity to really get clear. You know, it's like you can't always script out because you never know how people are going to be or respond, but to get clear and then to do the worst and best case as well can be super helpful. Related, unrelated, but just because it sparked this for me, scripting out conversations that you want to have, and then if possible, and we can do this in session with clients or we can invite them to find a practice partner, but practicing conversations that you want to have activates the body level of learning and processing. So in other words, like writing out is great. And then if we can actually speak out a practice, it creates a body memory of how we want to show up for the conversation. That can be super, super helpful. Rebecca.
Yeah, what came through for me was journaling about each piece. So what it would look like to set a boundary with confidence, and then separately, what would it look like to set a boundary with love? And as they go through this process, like, what are you wearing? Where are you? Like, when is the time of day that you're doing it? Are you doing, like, do you see yourself dressed up and like sitting in front of a computer? Are you doing this online? Are you doing it in person? And just really like playing around with what love and confidence looks like when it comes to setting a boundary with these individuals.
Yeah, I love that. That's kind of pulling and reinforcing on this the way they want to show up energetically, and really reinforcing being able to show up in that energy even while having a tough conversation or setting a boundary. And some, like the imaginary conversation that Carlita said, a lot of visioning in there, which is always really helpful. Karen.
There's a couple different directions I might go, but one of them would be having her dialogue with her inner child, her little girl, especially around the fear of others being angry at her and taking on that over responsibility, and just kind of getting, befriending that fear with her, the dialogue and that little girl in her, and just like, what does she need? And then from there, I might have her speak from her warrior woman, and, you know, what does it, maybe even her warrior woman versus the dormant part of her. So giving those both a voice.
Yes. Yeah, beautifully. So nicely done. Absolutely. Going deeper with each of those, we can call them either fears or archetypal energies. And again, even if we do it in the session too, don't underestimate. Remember, the difference between a breakthrough and a transformation is all in the follow-up and the persistent and consistent action. So just because if you happened in the session to do some dialoguing with the warrior woman, give the client practice to do a bit more over the week, really let that settle in and become embodied. Nice. Thanks, Karen. Cindy.
Oh, this is like my life story. Thank you. So being kinesthetic and having my first profession teaching fitness classes, I put in the chat being a tree. Like, I really had to get grounded and strong and feel that sense of being a tree to be able to say no to my parents about a boundary they were crossing. So for me, it wasn't just an intellectual thing. I had to feel it and practice it before I could say it and do it. And it was very transformational. And I actually didn't speak to them for 6 months to just really let them know I was serious. But to get to that state, I, I needed to practice it. So I think we need to know, is our client visual, auditory, or kinesthetic, that creates what creates that breakthrough so that they can have that transformation to do what we're asking them to do.
Such a great point, because it's true, like some clients are going to connect more with the visual, some clients are going to connect more with the kinesthetic, etc. So knowing that, or asking about it, you know, can help co-create. And then I'm not sure what the exact exercise with the tree that you did is. It sounds really juicy. Maybe at some point you'll tell us. But as you were sharing that, it just made me, I want to kind of make a note for everybody. If you're going to introduce a new exercise that you haven't done in session, like if you didn't already do the tree exercise in session, sometimes if it's around like what I'm picturing it might be, you may actually just want to make a couple extra minutes first in session so that they can experience, like get that foundation first to be able to do it on their own. Or if you have a recording of it, send it to them, etc. But if it's a new kind of like visualization, especially type thing, they might need the example first.
Oh, absolutely. Because I have them picture their favorite tree, but then I have them become the favorite tree. And because I use the pendulum and the field doubles in size when they feel that they are a tree, that the trunk of their body is a tree and the roots are going down to Mother Earth. And she's holding them and supporting them with this grounded energy to be able to do what they want to do.
Sounds so beautiful and powerful. I love it. Love anything having to do with trees. Simona.
So we only have 8 minutes left of class. So I'm not sure if this is the right time or not the right time, but for me in that description, and obviously I don't know all the details, but I heard a few things that really struck my ears as possibly like trauma scenes. And so I would be reluctant to have someone journal if I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And so I wanted to have a conversation about, I don't know if this is the right time to have a conversation about how to bring our trauma lens into a conversation about journaling.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're bringing up, it's such a great question. So yeah, obviously I didn't describe all of the details of what that session may have been, but absolutely, you know, if through the exploration, now, well, okay, let's take a step back. And this is a much bigger conversation, you're right, 8 minutes, but I'll try to like put some things out there. At this point, we have all experienced trauma in one way or another. And also it's hard to sometimes know, like one situation, I always coach the what based on the who, like one situation may create a trauma response in one body or one person, which might not in another, right? So, you know, there's a lot in that. You know, for some people, falling off their bike when they were six was a traumatic event. And then for many other people, not. So I share all of that not to, for anyone to get scared, like any situation can be a trauma event, right? But just that we want to be trauma informed. If you have a session like the one that I was describing, and as you, I said, like you uncover that she has a fear of being other people being angry at her, you're gonna explore that a little bit in session. It's not, right, so I was kind of just giving highlights, but if it becomes clear that there are incidents there that were traumatizing, it's not that you can't give any homework on this, right? But you're not gonna necessarily give homework, go back to your six-year-old self. I mean, in any scenario, you're not going to give homework to say, go back to your six-year-old self, be in the room when the person got angry at you, and journal from that place. Whether you're in session or out of session, recreating that experience isn't trauma-informed. But let's say you uncover that like something happened there. So you're not going to go into that experience, but that doesn't mean that you can't give homework around it. Connecting into the warrior woman energy and then receiving messages or with higher wisdom from the warrior woman isn't going to trip. It's not going to trigger the trauma. Asking a piece of homework from your adult self, just writing a letter of love to your little kid self, that's not gonna trigger it. So we absolutely want to be mindful. We never, whether in session or not, want to put the client in the situation of re-experiencing anything. There's obviously so much more that can be said, but does that start to answer your question?
It starts to answer the question, absolutely. And obviously, of course, your summary was brief and doesn't give all the details because we're doing a case study, and obviously we're quoting the who, the what based on the who. I was just thinking about having someone go off and journal and even take such a very big step of outside boundaries before the inside fortress. Like, yeah, all of a sudden I was like, again, I keep thinking, where's our scope? And I guess you've given us so many tools, and there's even more tools still in the portal. I haven't gone through all the sacred power stuff yet. So it just, that specific scenario brought me right to the edge of like, where is coaching? Where is therapy?
You know, just to say, like, to pull the piece that you just said, like even setting the outer boundaries, right? So if you're in a session and you've gone through all of this and you ask the client, what do you want to do? And they start crying hysterically as they say they want to set the boundary with their friend and they're dysregulated in it. You know, it's not the kind of crying of like coming to the truth, but the kind of crying that, right? So you're not going to be like, yeah, now go off and set that boundary, right? But if you co-create and they say, you know, I think I'm ready to have a conversation with this friend. I don't want to lend her money anymore. And there aren't those other signs. Now, can she go off and can she set the boundary and might that trigger something? Well, yeah, it could, like, human beings, messy, anything is possible, but chances are it's not. So you're also, you know, looking for those clues as well. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Way to talk about that in 4 minutes.
I know, in 4 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. Let's see in the chat. Any other thoughts on this scenario? Jamie's saying future-spaced conversation with herself having done this warrior action. Yes, I'd love that. Future-paced, right? Not future-spaced. Cindy's saying, if I was to put my big girl pants on, I would say, I love that. Holly's saying, what are some loving scenarios she can envision before she goes into the conversation so she can hold the energy? Yes. What are the needs for her parents? Beautiful. Stacy, journal with intention to invite her inner warrior to come forward. Yes. Christina's saying, what would it feel like if she removed the outerwear of the doormat and garbed herself in the protective armor of the warrior? Rana's saying, I'd also like to place awareness here of ableism. Not all of our clients may have the physical ability or capacity to traditionally write. So even more opportunities to build awareness. Yes, we always want to check our filters and as much as we can know where our clients are at and empower them in what they are able to do. Okay, we have 1 minute left. One other piece on this scenario that I'll share is I am a big fan of list making. Like sometimes a really good list can go very far. Can ask the client to make a list of all the people she knows who set boundaries in really healthy ways and how they do it. Okay, we are at 4:30 in our last minute. I'd love for you to take a moment and first just celebrate how, again, I just want to say it again, just look how far we've come. Such incredible knowledge and wisdom and skills came through in all of this. And what are you taking for yourself from our session today? What are you taking for yourself? Make note of that. And we're official, like I'll close the session officially, but I'll hang on. I'd love to hear takeaways or any questions that you have from today. Linda, there was a recording. I don't know if they put it in the member center. I'll get it for you and I'll send it to you. It should have been sent out, but I'll get it to you today. All right, any last thoughts? Anybody want to share takeaways or what's coming together or any questions before we've officially wrapped, but before we unofficially wrap for today? No? All right. Simona, you know, I think you said you haven't listened to it yet, but in the member center, there's the Sacred Power program.
Yeah, I started it. It sounds amazing, but haven't gotten all the way through it yet.
I think it will give you some other thoughts and ideas too.
Nice. I suspected it might. I just haven't made it all the way through it yet.
So. Yeah, and we're going to talk a lot more about in advanced. We're going to talk about, like, go deeper into the trauma-informed pieces and all of that. So you've got a lot of resources in there and ongoing learning for all of us, myself included. All right. I'm sending you all lots of love. Oh, Stacey's asking, do you have any resource materials anywhere on the portal with support? Stacey, just tell me what you mean by that.
Any classes that are about launching your group program, designing it, you know, all those pieces?
Yeah, we don't include it in a Sacred Depth. Have you done Curriculum Lab? Curriculum Lab is coming back around in the autumn. That's a full, like, creating group coaching, not like launching it, not marketing it, but there's that. In terms of launching it, there is a recording in the member center. And let me just turn off this recording off. Hold